Let's start with a pop quiz. I know we all love pop quizzes, right? Which of the following statements is true? We are a church of God. We are a church of Christ. We are a church of God in Christ. We are a church of the way. How many say number one is true? How many say number two is true? Some of you are like afraid. I'm not asking you to lift holy hands here or anything. How many say number three is true? Number four? Pretty good. Pretty good. I'm pretty impressed with you guys, because the reality is that every single one of these is true. We are, in fact, a church of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2, the church in Corinth is called the church of God in Corinth. If we are a church like they are a church, we are a church of God. We are, in fact, a church of Christ. In Romans chapter 16 and verse 16, Paul talks and says, the churches of Christ greet you. That's multiple groups. If there was a singular one, then it would be a church of Christ. If we're going to be like they are, that's exactly what we are. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 14, as Paul is writing to the Thessalonians, he refers to them as the church of God in Christ. Or refers to the churches in Judea, I should say, as he's talking to them, as the church of God in Christ. So that's exactly what we are. And church of the way. Now, I know that one seems a little bit odd to us, but in Acts chapter 9 and verse 2, Paul talks about the fact that he was persecuting the way. And in chapter 24, verse 14 and verse 22, Paul again, and Luke even refers to it as the way. And so we understand that Jesus, who is the way and the truth and the life, we are his church. We are a church of the way. All right, let's have another one. Which of these statements is true? Maybe. I am Church of Christ. How about this one? I am a Church of Christ preacher. How about this one? Church of Christ doctrine teaches a cappella singing. Or this one. This is a Church of Christ church. Who says the first one's true? All right. Who says the second one's true? Who says the third one's true? Who says the fourth one's true? All right. Here's the answer. Now, I'm sure that some of you may have been thinking these questions different than I'm asking them, but if you're thinking like me, none of them is true. None of them is true. Here's why. Church is a collective noun. It's a group of people. Guys, I know I'm overweight, but I am not a group of people. I am an individual. I cannot possibly be a church of Christ. I am a disciple of Christ. I am a saint. I am a Christian, but I am not a church of Christ. I've got to remember to mark through it. I am not a Church of Christ preacher. The words Church of Christ are not a proper noun that can be converted into an adjective to now tack on to other words. For instance, I am a University of North Alabama graduate. I can say that. The University of North Alabama is a proper name that can be used to describe as an adjective different things. University of Alabama professor, North Alabama, not Alabama. University of North Alabama school, University of North Alabama building. You know, all those kind of things could be used because that's a proper noun that can now be converted to an adjective tacked on to all those other things. And if we're going to use the phrase Church of Christ the way it's used in the Bible, it is not a proper name. It cannot be used that way. Church of Christ doctrine teaches a cappella singing. Well, if we're going to use this correctly, the phrase Church of Christ, the Church of Christ is a group of people who belongs to Christ. And while there may be a group of people over somewhere that their doctrine teaches this, our doctrine does not come from the church. Christ's doctrine may teach this. Now, we may be correct about that. We may be incorrect about what the Bible says about that. But the thing that we need to understand is that we do not teach Church of Christ doctrine. And if we do teach Church of Christ doctrine, then we're teaching false doctrine. We need to teach Christ's doctrine. Any doctrine that begins with men or a group of men is wrong and is destined to fail. And so, this is not an accurate use. This is not true. And then finally, this is a Church of Christ church. Well, the same thing we said with number two. We just can't do that. Church of Christ is not a proper noun that is now used to tack on to the word church or to anything else. Church of Christ preacher, Church of Christ school, Church of Christ book, Church of Christ doctrine. We just can't use it that way. Not if we're going to be using it the way the scripture uses it. The thing that concerns me and the reason why I bring all of this up is because I have been noticing over the past few years something that is very concerning to me. And that is, even among the Lord's people, a misunderstanding of what the Lord's church is and what this phrase, Church of Christ, actually means. And I want to make sure that we are using this properly. So I would like to talk with you a little bit about what the scripture says about the nature of the church and who we are and what we're striving to be. And if you're our guest here, I hope this is beneficial and enlightening to you. If you're a member here, I hope this is beneficial and enlightening to you. I hope this helps us understand what it is that we really are here as this group of Christians that meet on Livingston Avenue. Would you bow with me in prayer before we look at that more closely? God and Father in heaven, you are magnificent and awesome. We love and praise you and we lift you up because we are so thankful that you sent your son to die for us. We long to be of him. We long to be in him. We long to be of you and your spirit. And we're so thankful that you have established your church. And we're thankful that you have established local churches, that we get to gather together in this body with other believers, that we might encourage one another and strengthen one another. We're thankful that you have come up with this plan, and we pray that you would help us to understand this plan so that we can bring glory to your name and draw others into your family as well. Thank you, Father, for loving us. Thank you for loving us first. We love you. Through your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. I'd like to tell you a story. It's partially my story. When I was born, my parents were both Baptist. I was brought up in the Baptist church until I was a young teenager. After my mother died, my dad began to date a Christian. This was instigated by his parents introducing them to one another because they were Christians. When they started dating, my dad, myself, and my younger brother, who at that time was like 6 months old, started attending a local group of the Lord's people there in Blytheville, Arkansas. And so the people started asking me questions because I'll be honest with you, I wasn't happy about it. I was really upset. And one of the questions that folks would ask me, and they asked me on multiple occasions, why don't you want to be just a Christian? Why do you want to be some kind of Christian? I knew how to answer that question because I remembered in the youth groups that I had been a part of in the Baptist denomination that that question had been answered for me. And I explained, I am just a Christian. The name Baptist was a pejorative term that folks around this denomination started calling because of the way that church baptizes. We have adopted that and allowed that name to be called to us, but in the same way that Christian was used initially pejoratively. But I am just a Christian. And I said that multiple times as people asked me that question. Adults, even teenagers, asked me, why do you want to be a particular kind of Christian? Why not just a Christian? I am just a Christian. My dad married the woman he was dating. And when they married and were combining the houses that we were all going to be moving into together, they sent me away. They didn't want me coming with them on the honeymoon. I'm not sure why. So I got sent off to Idaho. Interestingly, it was an old family friend from when my dad had been stationed in the Air Force in Idaho. We left Idaho when I was like a year and a half, so I didn't really remember anybody, but shipped up there. And the family friend that we were with were members of the Baptist Church. And interestingly, during that 3-week period while I was there, his nephew, who was a Baptist pastor, also came to visit. One day, after church was over, I overheard them talking. I don't know what was going on in the Southern Baptist Convention that year. I don't even really know what they were talking about. There was one statement that was said that I overheard, and it stuck with me now for 30 years. Our friend said to his nephew, "If they keep doing this, I'm going to quit being a Baptist and just be a Christian." My life was turned upside down. I had been arguing. This is all I am. And what I learned on that day is that when somebody is in a debate with someone they disagree with, they're very careful the kind of language they use. They know words that they shouldn't say, and they know things they shouldn't say. But when they're just talking among friends, then what's really going on is what comes out. And I had been told that I was just a Christian, but in that moment, what I learned was, no, I'm not. I am not just a Christian. But I want to be. That's what I want to be. I got home, and I was baptized into Christ. And I have to tell you, that doesn't mean that at that time when I was 13 years old that I understood everything about the church, that I understood everything about what I'm going to share with you in this lesson. Doesn't mean that I agreed with everything that church we were now attending believed. And it didn't mean that I disagreed with everything in the church that I was coming from. But what it does mean is in that moment I knew what I wanted. This church says, let's just be Christians. And that one doesn't. And what I want is to be just a Christian. I don't want to be a hyphenated Christian. I don't want to be any kind of Christian. I want to be a Christian and a Christian only. And that's all I want to be. I don't want to be a Baptist Christian. I don't want to be a Methodist Christian. I don't want to be a Pentecostal Christian. I don't want to be a Roman Catholic Christian. And let me tell you what else I don't want to be. I don't want to be a Church of Christ Christian. I want to be a Christian. And that's it. That's all I want. And yet, though I learned that 30 years ago, and I heard sermons that taught that, over the last 30 years, I have been seeing a tendency among brethren that really concerns me. That despite the claim of just wanting to be Christians and not being a kind of Christian, that it's becoming a very denominational use of the phrase Church of Christ that we most often use, and even treating the Lord's church like it is just that denominational thing. It so bothers me. I have Christians who ought to know better that introduce me to people as a Church of Christ preacher. They talk about schools as Church of Christ schools. Radio programs as Church of Christ radio programs. There are folks who, when someone asks members here, where do you attend? Oh, I'm with those Christians that meet over on Livingston Avenue. What kind of church is that? Oh, it's just Church of Christ. I got to tell you, oh, it drives me nuts when I hear brethren say, I'm a Church of Christer. Or, we're COC. What does that even mean? Perhaps the worst, and this has actually been years ago. This was even when I was in college this happened, and the importance of it didn't always stick with me until recently as I thought back. There was a church in the area where I was going to college that it started doing all these unity meetings with denominational churches, churches that are teaching error, falsehood about how to be saved and how to worship God, and they were doing these unity meetings. And so churches in the area were all up in arms, and Christians were all upset about what was going on here. And I remember one sister pulled me aside and said, "You will never believe what I found out today." Oh no, what did you find out? I decided to look that church up, the one that was doing the Unity meetings, in the phone book. And do you know what? They don't have themselves listed under Church of Christ. They have themselves listed under non-denominational. And I have to tell you, my initial thought was not, oh no, how dare they? My initial thought was, oh no, what are we listed under? Because I have to tell you, I don't want to be a part of a denomination. I gave up on denominationalism. I left that because I want to be just a Christian. I don't want to be any kind of Christian. I'd like you to look in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Because one of the things that I learned in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 in a very shocking verse is that sometimes even the phrase of Christ can be wrong. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning at verse 10, I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same judgment. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there is quarreling among you, my brothers. What I mean is that each one of you says, I follow Paul, or I follow Apollos, or I follow Cephas, or I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? And on he goes to speak against this. The English Standard here has them saying, I follow Paul, or I follow. If you've got the New King James, maybe the King James, I think maybe the New American Standard here also. Instead of saying, I follow, it says, I am of Paul, I am of Peter, I am of Apollos, I am of Christ. What I find very interesting is as Paul strives to correct this, he does not say, you people who are saying you're of Christ, you're right. And he does not turn to the others and say, you people who are saying you're of Paul and of Apollos and Peter, you're getting it all wrong. You need to be like these guys of Christ, because that's what we really are, is of Christ. What does this demonstrate? Is of Christ the way we need to be? Of course. But the problem is the people in Corinth that were saying they were of Christ were saying it from the exact same spirit that the people were saying they were of Paul. And if we're saying we're of Christ, but it's the exact same divisive sectarian spirit as those who would say, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, we're still getting it wrong. We may be using the right terminology, but we're using that terminology incorrectly. Is the phrase Church of Christ a biblical phrase, an accurate description of Christ's body? Of course it is. But so is Church of God. And if I use the phrase Church of Christ or Church of God in the exact same sectarian, divided, divisive, denominational sense that folks are using those other names, I am just as wrong as they are. God did not establish the Church of Christ as one little group over here that is a subset of His greater body. If I am using the phrase Church of Christ to describe all the churches that meet in buildings that have the words Church of Christ on their sign, I don't understand what the Church of Christ actually is. If I'm using the phrase Church of Christ to describe a subset of God's real church, I don't know what the Church of Christ is, and I'm not using that correctly. Yes, please understand, I long to be of Christ. I long for this congregation to be of Christ. I want us to be Christ's church, a congregation of Christ, a church of Christ. But I don't want to be a Church of Christ Christian. I want to be in the Church of Christ. I want to be a member of the Church of Christ. I want to be a member of a congregation that is of Christ. But I do not want to be a Church of Christ Christian. I don't want to be COC. I don't want to be a Church of Christer. I want to be a Christian. And that's it. Let me explain what this means about the church. The word church, as most often translated here in our New Testaments, is from the Greek word ekklesia. It means assembly. It's translated congregation sometimes, translated assembly, translated church. Essentially, a group of people are called out for a special purpose. In fact, it was not originally a religious word. It's a word that the Christians adopted to describe themselves, but it was not originally a religious word. Originally, it was a reference to the assemblies of citizens in Greek city-states gathered to conduct public business. In fact, we see this kind of idea in Acts chapter 19. In Acts chapter 19, verse 32, Acts 19 and verse 32, "Now some cried out one thing, some another, for the assembly was in confusion, and most of them did not know why they had come together." Look also at verse 39. In verse 39, and this is where we see that original idea, "But if you seek anything further, it shall be settled in the regular assembly." And then in verse 41, "When he had said these things, he dismissed the assembly." This is just talking about this group of people that have gathered. They're rioting, they're having all this problem. He says it'll be solved in the regular assembly, the one that's supposed to take care of these matters. And then he dismissed this riotous assembly. That's where that word initially comes from. What we recognize then is it's a group. Ecclesia, church, assembly, congregation is a collective noun. I'm sorry for the English lesson, but let's understand this. A singular noun is one. It's just one entity. I am a man. A man. One man. That's it. Then there are plural nouns. If we had a whole bunch of men, we'd say men. Or I am a person. We have a whole bunch of people. But then we also have another kind of noun. It's a collective noun, which kind of combines the singular and the plural all at the same time. Group. Group is a collective. It's a singular group, but it refers to a collection of things. That's exactly what the word church is. A singular entity comprising multiple members, like a herd of cows. You can have one cow, you can have multiple cows, and then you have a herd of cows, which is a bunch of cows together that are in one unit. Or a flock of sheep. You can have one sheep, you can have multiple sheep. And I know that throws you off because it's not sheeps. You have one sheep, you can have multiple sheep. You have a flock of sheep, which is a group of sheep, but it's one flock. Or you can have a club, like this Toastmasters club. You have one person, multiple people, or you can have a club of people. That's exactly what a church is. Look in Acts chapter 8 and verse 1. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 1, "Saul approved of his execution," that's Stephen, "and there arose on that day a great persecution against the church," notice that's singular, "in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles." The church, collective group, but they, doesn't say it, they, that's a reference to the members. That's what a church is. A church is a group of people. It is a collection of people. Now, when we add the phrase "of Christ" to that, that prepositional phrase modifies it and most often demonstrates a kind of ownership here in our English language. There's some other aspects of this, but most simply, we just say ownership. That's the house of Edwin. That's the car of Edwin. That's the sermon of Edwin. The church of Christ just basically means here's who that group of people belong to. They belong to Christ. So when we're talking about a church of Christ, all we are talking about is a group of people who belong to Christ. We see this, Romans chapter 16 and verse 16, "The churches of Christ salute you." Here are multiple groups of people that belong to Jesus Christ. If there was just one of them, then it would be a church of Christ. But we also see this in 1 Corinthians 1, 2 with church of God. It's the church that belongs to God. It's the group of people that belong to God. And I want you to notice 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 23. "If you are Christ's and Christ is God's. If you belong to Christ, you also belong to God." We see that unity and that connection between them. A church of Christ is a church of God. And a church of God is a church of Christ if they're really following God's will. Not just because they have that name on the sign. Just because someone has a name on the sign doesn't mean anything. If they're doing this, And the problem is we're surrounded by all this denominational division, and it makes it hard for us to talk. But the reality is if we're doing the truth, we're talking about the same thing. In the scripture, then, we see church in two senses. We see the word church used in two senses. One is a local sense. It's a localized group of people who belong to Jesus Christ. For instance, there in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2, as it talks about the church of God in Corinth, it's not talking about everybody everywhere. It's talking about a group of people in Corinth that belong to God. And then in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 2, as it talks about the churches of Galatia, we recognize that Galatia is a huge land region. And so we recognize that there are multiple groups of people throughout that entire region of Galatia that are all meeting together that belong to God, that belong to Jesus Christ. So we have that local sense of the word church. This group is a church because they assemble, not just when they assemble. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 3, I'd like you to notice this. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 3, Saul was ravaging the church and entering house after house, he dragged off men and women and committed them to prison. The Christians were in their own homes when this was happening, but what were they still, even though they were there? They were the church. They made up the church. After we're done here in a few moments, and we all go to our own places, and some of you go into restaurants, some of you going home, we're still the church, the collective. That's still what we are together, even though we are not assembled together. So that local church is the group of people who assemble together, who belong to God, who belong to Jesus Christ. But we also see in the New Testament the idea of a universal sense. All the people all over the world of all times that belong to God or belong to Jesus Christ. For instance, in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, Peter makes the great confession, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and says, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. The gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." What was he going to build? He was going to build his church, his one church, not multiple churches, his one church. That is the one collection of people. We find it also in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 23. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 23. In Hebrews 12 and verse 23, to the assembly of the firstborn, that word assembly, that's our word. To the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect. Who is this assembly, this church? It's everyone who is enrolled in heaven. But please understand, it is still a group of people. The local church is a group of people locally who belong to Christ. The universal church is the universal group of people who belong to Christ. It is a collection of people. It is not a collection of local churches. This is important for us to understand. You see, there's a couple of different perspectives that some have. Some here see this. Oh, the universal church, you comprise together all the local churches that belong to Christ, and now you have the universal church. That is not true. That is not true. An ecclesia, a church, an assembly, is a collection of people, whether it's local or universal. The local churches are the group of people together locally. The universal is the group of people universally who belong to Jesus Christ. Without reference to their fellowship with a local congregation, the Church of Christ is the universal group of everybody who belongs to Jesus Christ. It is not the collection of everybody who attends a building that has the phrase Church of Christ on the door. It's not. It is the collection of people who belong to Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 9, when Paul wanted to be a part of the church at Jerusalem and they wouldn't allow him, he was still a part of the fellowship of Christ. Acts 9:26, when he had come to Jerusalem, he attempted to join the disciples. They were afraid of him. They didn't believe he was a disciple. The fact that they wouldn't allow him to be in the fellowship of that local group, did that change that he was a part of the universal church? No. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 14, we find out that there were a group of people that were in these local churches. I think I said verse 14. It's actually verse 19. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 19, it talks about people who had been among the local church, but it says they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might become plain that they are not all of us. Here were people that were meeting together with the local church, but they were never a part of the universal body. So we need to understand the universal church is the collection of the people. It's not collections of churches. When we talk about the church of Christ, if we're using that phrase biblically, we are talking about the universal body of everybody who belongs to Jesus, no matter what local church they attend. We need to understand that. We want to see the connection between a local church and a universal church here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2. To the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints together with all those who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. We see the local church here, the church of God, the group of people that belongs to God that's in Corinth. You're sanctified in Christ Jesus, but you are called to be saints together with all those who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Called to be along with them, that universal body. Now there is one other kind of sense where this is used in Acts chapter 9 and verse 31, but I really think it's just a modified sense of this universal. But in Acts chapter 9, and I believe it's verse 31. So the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and was being built up, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the commandment of the Holy Spirit, it multiplied. We know that there are Christians outside of Judea, Galilee, and Samaria because it's already talked about Christians in Damascus. So this is not referring to the universal church per se, but it's obviously not referring to just a local church either, because there wasn't just one local church in Judea, Galilee, and Samaria. I think this is a modified form of that universal. It's the idea that everybody who is a part of the church in this region. As far as I know, this is the only use like this where that kind of universal sense is modified to refer to a group, the groups in a region. But I think we do see that. So there are three takeaways from this. Three takeaways that we need to understand. Number one, since being a Christian means belonging to Christ, no one can be a Christian without also being part of the group of people who belong to Christ or the church of Christ. If you're a member of the church of Christ, you are a Christian. If you are a Christian, you are a member of the church of Christ. That's just all there is to it. You may not be a member of some church that has a sign on their door that says Church of Christ, but if you are a Christian, you are a member of His church. You cannot possibly be a Christian without also being a member of Christ's church. And so, brothers, sisters, please do not, if you have ever said this, do not ever say this again. Are you ready? He's a Christian, but he's not Church of Christ. That is impossible. Unless you don't understand what Church of Christ means. Now, if Church of Christ to you is just some group of buildings that has the words Church of Christ over the door, that all teach a certain thing and trade preachers back and forth, you don't understand what the Church of Christ is. Christ's church is the collection of people who belong to Him. And so in Acts 2, it highlights that the Lord was adding to His church daily those who were being saved. When you are saved, you are added to His church, that church universal. If you are a Christian, you are a member of that church. If you are a member of that church, you are a Christian. If you are not a member of the Church of Christ, you aren't a Christian. Understand, look, I know it is so hard to talk about this. If you're our guest, I know you think you just heard something that I didn't say. I'm not saying if you don't attend a building that has the words Church of Christ on the door, you're not a Christian. That's not what I said. If you're not a part of the people who belong to Christ, you're not a Christian. And if you're not a Christian, you're not a part of the people that belong to Christ. And that's what we want to be. We want to be people who belong to Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 23 that we read just moments ago, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 23, you are Christ's and Christ is God's. I want this to be a church that belongs to Christ, a church that is of Christ. If we're Christ, then we're God's. I want this church to be a church of God. No, I don't want it to be a part of that denomination that's called that. But I don't want it to be a part of a denomination called the Church of Christ either. I just hope we can be a group of people who belong to Jesus Christ and belong to God. And that's it. Nothing more. We don't need anything added to that. We just need Jesus. We don't need anything else. Second takeaway. Church of Christ is not the official name of the body of the Lord. It breaks my heart that I have talked to preachers who otherwise teach the faithful and sound gospel of Jesus Christ, but they will argue tooth and toenail that this phrase that actually is not even used in all of Scripture like this, is the real name of the body of our Lord. The only place you find anything like this is Romans 16:16, and it says churches of Christ. So we can extrapolate that Church of Christ is a scriptural description, but that's what it is. It is a description. It is not the name of the Lord's body. Here's the amazing thing. God never named his church. He just described it. Listen to some of these descriptions. Here's some things that we could use to describe ourselves. We could be the Livingston Avenue Church of Christ. Romans 16:16, I think, demonstrates that. We could be the Church of God in Lutz, 1 Corinthians 1:2. Look, I get it. That would confuse people. There would be folks coming in here expecting certain things that they wouldn't find. But if we're truly a church of God, they're going to find this. And we are a church of God. The church of God in Christ Jesus that is in Lutz, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 14. Acts 24:14, you know, we could put on our sign, the way. That's what Paul called it. And we would still be just as much a church of Christ as we are today. We would still be just as much a church of God as we are today. We could just call ourselves a church of Florida. Galatians 1:2, the churches of Galatia. We could just be a church of Florida. We're one of the churches in Florida. 1 Thessalonians 1:1, I love this one. The church of the Thessalonians. We could be the church of the Lutzians. I guess that's better than Lilliputians. But of course, I guess not all of us here live in Lutz. The church of the Lutzians, Landalakians, Temple Teresians, Tampians. So we've got 1 Timothy 3:15, Church of the Living God. Philippians 1:1, the saints in Christ Jesus at Lutz. Or on Livingston Avenue. Hebrews 12:23, the assembly of the firstborn. 1 Timothy 3:15, the household of God. Or the one that's most commonly used throughout Scripture to refer to the group of people, just the church. This is actually the most common description of the group of people that belong to Jesus Christ, just the church. We just be the church, a church. All these terms, do you realize we could have any one of these things on our sign and we'd still be just as much a church that belongs to Christ? Because being a church that belongs to Christ is not about what's on the sign. And the reason we don't have a name on our sign is not because we're ashamed of Christ, because our sign actually says this is a church that belongs to Christ. It's because we look through Scripture and we don't find any signs with names on them that say this is what name you're supposed to have on your sign. We have descriptions. We're a group of Christians that belong to Christ that meet here on Livingston Avenue. That's what we are. That's why we do that. The third takeaway. Brothers and sisters, we've got to monitor our terminology. Because the way we speak is going to eventually be what we believe. The way we speak is going to eventually be what we believe. And if brothers and sisters in Christ continue to say things like, well, you know what I mean, and then say things that aren't scriptural, eventually we're going to believe things that aren't scriptural. Oh, but it's so hard. It's so confusing. They don't understand if I say that. You want to know what that is? That is an opportunity for biblical discussion. I will say this. I'll tell you another story. When we lived in North Carolina, this is while we were still Baptist. I had to be like 8 years old. And this has stuck with me forever. This is before I ever even cared about any of this. I was talking with another girl, I was talking with a girl. That'll become important in a minute. I was talking with this girl who lived down the street, her and her sister, and we were talking about churches, and I think I had invited them to come to church, and they said, "We already go to church." And I say, "Well, what denomination are you?" And she says, "Oh, we're not a denomination." That completely blew my mind. I didn't know you could be such a thing when I was 8 years old. I still remember that. Now, she was eight. She couldn't explain what that meant. But I said, no, you've got to be you've got to be some denomination. Nope, at our church, we're not a denomination. Do you understand what I'm saying? I was 8 years old. That was like 31 years ago. And I still remember that. What a great conversation starter. What church do you go to? Oh, we're just a group of Christians that meet over there on Livingston Avenue. What kind of church are you? We're just trying to be the kind of church you read about in the New Testament. Yeah, but what denomination are you? Well, we're pre-denominational. We're trying to be what they were before there were denominations. Well, you can't do... Well, I mean, we're just trying to follow what's in Scripture. Yeah, but what kind of church are you? Why don't you come find out? We need to watch our terminology. We need to quit saying things like, "I'm Church of Christ," "He's Church of Christ," "She's Church of Christ," "It's a Church of Christ church," "We're Church of Christ," COC. Just get rid of that. Thank you. Get rid of that. Here's one that's more subtle. This is why the slip-up I made a minute ago actually applies. The other denominations. You ever heard a Christian talk about the other denominations? You know what that implies? That implies that we are one and there are others. No. There are denominations and we're not one of those. It's not other ones, they're just there. Sadly, in most churches today, when they talk about being non-denominational, what they mean is being interdenominational. That means we don't care what denomination you say you're a part of. You can come be a member here. That's not what we are. We are not interdenominational. To be a member of this congregation, you've got to say, "I don't want to be a part of a denomination. I just want to be a Christian." We need to get rid of those kind of statements. If you're trying to figure out if it's Christians that run a particular radio show, don't ask, "Is it a Church of Christ radio program?" Do Christians run that? And then if you're trying to be really specific, do not say, "Well, yeah, they're Christians, but they're not Church of Christ." If they're not a part of the Church of Christ, we don't want to be a part of some denomination called Church of Christ. Here's the thing. Guys, I just want to be a Christian. How about you? That's what we want to be. How you been doing at that? Would you pull out your songbooks, please, if you're going to be using those? Otherwise, the song will be up on the screen behind us. Number 467, is that it? We have an anchor. Thank you for your kind patience and attention, as it took a little bit longer than I intended to explain this. If you're our guest here today, and there was anything about, well, even if you're a member here today, and there was anything about that that was confusing, I would be happy to clarify. I'd love to get together with you and talk about what I'm saying today. But when I was 13 years old, I knew that Jesus Christ had died for my sins, and I just wanted to be one of His people. I didn't want to be hyphenated. I don't want to be some kind of Christian. I just wanted to be a Christian. There were a whole lot of things I didn't know and a whole lot of things I didn't understand, but I knew that. And that is still what I want to be today. And that is what I want this congregation to be. And if you're our guest here, that's what we want for you, to be just a Christian. I cannot tell you how to become a Church of Christ Christian, because I've not ever been one of those. But I can tell you how to become a Christian. Jesus died on the cross so that your sins could be washed away. Do you believe that? Are you willing to confess that you believe that? Are you willing to turn away from your life of error, sin, false doctrine, false teaching, whatever, and just surrender? I just want to be a Christian, and I'm just going to learn whatever it is that he says, and I'm going to do that. Then Jesus said, he that believes and is baptized will be saved. And you remember what we read in Acts 2 earlier, or quoted, the Lord add to the church daily those who are being saved. You want to be a member of Christ's church? Believe and be baptized, you'll be saved, and the Lord will add you to that church. And then we as a local body will be excited to then turn around and allow you to be a part of our local congregation. Being baptized doesn't make you a part of this local group. It makes you a part of the universal body. But if you've been baptized and you want to be a part of this local group, we'd be happy to talk to you about that as well. But if we can help you, just be a Christian, please let us know. And you can come forward right now as we stand and sing.